My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, so we were talking about the offensive line. If you weren't listening to that, we'll get to that again today. And we'll get to Sean Pendergast with a practice report. They're on the field right now. They're just getting on the field right now. We're going to give you everything that we see from where we're sitting and everything we hear from our boots on the ground. And we'll get back to that offensive line discussion probably about noon. It's really fascinating. If you weren't listening... Fascinating. I mean, absolutely yeah. Fascinating. Some of the little known facts about this group of offensive linemen and where they are. And we're going to hear from Bobby Slowick. And I'm sure he'll have something to say about this offense and how it looked yesterday. Yesterday, they took over after kind of being, you know, for the most part, by and large, the defense has been dominating camp. We'll see how they do today because the offensive line is complete and all that. All right. But here's something else. That's on the other side of the ball. And as I said, Biggie, it's kind of like we kind of should be feeling much the same way about this unit, and that is the secondary. Three players kind of hold the keys to everything. We know what the defensive line is. They look badass. Obviously, Mario Edwards has been playing his ass off. We know that the defensive ends, Danielle Hunter got that sack, all that. We know what Derek Stingley is. We know what Azeez Al-Shaair is. But here's the question. If you're talking about championship caliber, whether that's AFC or Super Bowl or whatever, Kalen Bullock is a rookie. Kamari Lassiter is a rookie. And Jalen Petrie is playing a position for the first time as a Houston Texan. I mean, we feel good about the secondary, but you have two rookies and a guy in a new spot. To me, on the defensive side, that's everything. I mean, that's the key to getting to a championship.
I think so, and I think it's saying a lot that, you know, we're talking about two rookies starting on this defense, mm-hmm. man. And, you know, we was kind of scratching our heads a little bit because we feel like they didn't address the safety position, and we kept bringing up Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
And, like, what's going on? And for the simple fact that they still have a lot of trust in Jalen Petrie, and they deciding to move him to mm-hmm. you know, have him play a little more nickel, and you got Kalen Bullock. That was a late pick, man.
I had no expectations.
Yeah, I didn't either. I thought that was somebody that was going to be, you know, maybe carrying the pads. I'm being ignorant saying that. But I had no idea he was going to start. I was looking at Lassiter as mm-hmm. probably the person that'd be playing nickel. To kind of, you know.
Oh, that was talked about a lot. Yeah. Actually, when he was drafted.
Yeah, so I thought that was probably more likely. Yeah. But for the
and we're like, Jeff Okuda maybe? Yeah. CJ Henderson maybe?
I ain't think Jeff. I know Jeff Okuda ain't had the best of mm-hmm. NFL years.
Yeah.
But. I ain't think he was going to get beat out by a second-round rookie.
From day one.
Yeah. It wasn't even a competition.
Yeah.
And you got that and Kalen Bullock.
Yeah.
I'm starting on this defense.
Yeah.
So, to me, you know, it could go good. It could go bad. But mm-hmm. I just have a good feeling about this, man.
Okay.
I don't think this is where I trust DeMeco Ryans.
Mm-hmm.
If he feel like this rookie can, you know, this rookie cornerback and start opposite of Darius Stingley.
Pixie dust.
Yeah. And you got Kalen Bullock, who probably going to get a lot of playing time, probably going to start too.
Yeah.
So I got a good feeling about
it. So let me ask y'all this, all y'all, listeners, Figgy, Chris Santiago, who's on the team, by the way, and I'm very happy for that. Anyway, is it asking too much to expect two rookies and an unproven nickel to help a team get to the championship level? Here's my answer. Yes and no. because like, you can't say, oh, no, it's not asking too much. I mean, it has happened in the past. We'll get to some of that. But two rookies and a nickel that's never played there at this level, here's the yes. Yes, they're rookies. You know, it's asking too much. Petrie struggled. He got benched, and he's in a new place. So you can say, yes, it's absolutely asking too much. That doesn't mean they're not going to do it, but it's asking a lot. Here's the no. It's not asking too much. The pixie dust that we talk about. D'Amico is and Matt Burke, I don't want to shortchange Matt Burke, who we're going to hear from today, but those defensive dudes have Blake Cashman, perfect example last year. A little pixie dust on his head, boom, he becomes practically a Pro Bowler. Some of these other guys that stepped up, and they're not going to put these rookies in that position if they're not earning it.
Yeah, or if they not, or if they don't really trust them like that.
Yeah,
and clearly they trust them a lot because they didn't really address the safety position. They're pretty happy about who they got in the safety room, and just for the simple fact that somebody like a Jeff Okuda is not really making that much noise.
Yeah,
I think that say a lot, man. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of trust to put in some rookies.
I say it all the time.
And some late round rookies. I mean, yeah. I know last year's second round pick.
But later for Kalen Bullock.
Yeah.
And so I say this all the time. They're not doing anybody favors out there. They love Jalen Petrie, but they're not going to risk their own ass, you know, to put him out there because they like him. So he's earned something. I haven't quite seen it yet. We'll see. Lassiter and Bullock, same. They're not saying, oh, you know, those are my draft picks. We got to play them. We got to start them. I mean, yes, they get some favor. They get some benefit of the doubt, but they're not putting their asses out there just because, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think they doing that. I think they know something we don't know.
Yes.
Or they have an idea of what they
want. And we've seen hints. Lassiter especially.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very high on him. But as far as Bullock, like, he's the dude. This was Jalen Petrie talking about Kalen Bullock.
Yeah, I mean, Kalen is a pro already, you know, and I know you asked how have I helped him, but I know y'all have seen him in the post. He's helped me already. Like, just eyeing the quarterback, eyeing when that back foot is hitting, like, knowing when to break before the quarterback is doing that. Like, he has a good feel in that regard, and I think he's helped our room out a lot in that. In ways that I've helped him, you know, just I think outside, just developing that routine and just sticking it out on a day-to-day basis so that your days are consistent and showing up to practice the same way each day with a, you know, consistent and relentless mindset.
That was kind of funny to me. He's like, well, I haven't helped him. He's really helped me. Oh, ways I've helped him? He's like trying to come up with an answer. Like when you got to do a verbal report on a book that you didn't read. Well, the character was interesting.
He'd be looking like LeBron James reading that Malcolm X book.
Yeah, he's like,
he's a very interesting man.
I thought it had a bunch of different levels. It was very interesting. but this was, that was Jalen Petrie. This was D'Amico Ryans on Petrie. And you're going to hear he loves Jalen Petrie. But like I said, he's not doing him any favors.
Yeah, Jalen, I mean, first thing first is just he's so fun to work with. He's one of our smartest players on our team, right? He's able to handle a lot mentally and physically, very gifted guy who does a phenomenal job, whether it's in coverage, whether it's blitzing, playing in the box, playing back deep. Not many guys have the skill set that Jalen has. And he's a fun guy to work with. He's all about the team. He's a true leader for us on our team, and I'm always excited to work with Jalen because he's ready for more. Like trying to see how much he can handle. He can handle a lot, and it helps our defense just with his versatility, his flexibility, and just his willingness, right, to do whatever it takes for the team to be successful. Like that's how we want all of our guys.
We'll see, and we're going to start to see on Saturday. We'll have a real good look at it. And then I was looking at Lassiter, and I was thinking about this mic'd up that the Houston Texans dropped. think it was last week, maybe the week before. It was early in camp, earlier in camp. And I always talk about they're not doing these guys favors just because they're high draft picks. Like, listen to D'Amico talking about Kamari Lassiter. Now, he's on the field. This isn't, like, fake. This isn't staged. He's on the field during a Texans practice.
Way to finish. Way to finish. Way to finish, 14. Way to finish. That kid freaking compete every snap. Love it. Love it. Every snap. Love it. There you go, Mari. Let's go.
Man, that's big time.
That's my
there
favorite
you go, Mari.
Every snap.
He competes.
Every snap.
Way to finish, 14.
Love it. I love that clip.
It ain't fake.
Yeah, no, he was serious.
That's in the midst of practice and training camp.
If you watch that video, you can tell he kind of talking to himself.
Oh, he's just gyrating. Yeah, he's not talking to anybody.
Yeah.
He's just like saying it.
Yeah.
Way to compete, 14.
Every snap.
There you go, Mari.
Love it. Love it.
Way to finish, 14.
So those three guys, man, they're two rookies and Petrie on a championship level team.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I know one thing. Nick Caserio going to get a lot of credit.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my good. He going to mess around and be the draft guru.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this dude know how to pick him.
Yeah. Oh, and he will. And so I know what some of our listeners are thinking. Has that ever happened before? Has a rookie defensive back ever been that good? Have multiple rookie defensive backs been that good that you can help carry a team to a championship level, an AFC championship or an NFC championship or a Super Bowl? So I dug in a little bit. Jair Brown from the Niners. Oh, I wonder who was on the Niners. That would be D'Amico Ryans. Eric Wright. Remember Eric Wright back in the day? Rookie. Some people said he might have been MVP of that Super Bowl. And, of course, there's one that we all remember.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal. Malcolm Butler, who almost made the phenomenal play that wound up in Percy's arms. There are flags on the field for a celebration. Amazing. Butler, a rookie free agent out of West Alabama.
They tried to pick play, Al. They tried to go here, but he beats them to the punch. And I'm sorry, but I can't believe the call.
Me neither.
I cannot believe the call. You've got Marshawn Lynch in the backfield.
All right. We know that story. Yeah. We know that part.
Did Malcolm Butler go and hook afterwards?
Well, I'm glad you said
he
that.
He went right to the sideline.
Undrafted rookie with the play, one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history. Undrafted rookie defensive back. Jair Brown, rookie defensive back. Eric Wright, rookie defensive back. All of them heroes in the Super Bowl. And, I mean, we got to play this, right? We got to play this. How did Malcolm Butler become a Super Bowl hero?
So he comes and gets in my car and we begin to talk. And on the ride from Logan into Foxborough, we began to talk about life. And he said, hey, will you pray for me? Let's pray before we go in. We prayed. That night in the hotel, I met him in the hotel. We began to talk about things that he was going through. So then fast forward to this little game that happened in Arizona. You may have heard about it. It was a decent deal. He intercepts his pass, right, and wins the Super Bowl. And everybody is going crazy. And he gives me a big hug and he's crying. He says, hey, do you remember when we prayed together, when we were in the parking lot before I went in? And I said, yes, Malcolm, I remember that. And that night he left. He goes private plane, Jay Leno, private plane, Disney World, private plane, all these other places to begin to parade what it means to be the Super Bowl MVP.
Barf. Barf.
Man.
Jack Easterby taking full credit for Malcolm Butler.
He went to the sideline. He stiffed arm Bill Belichick, went right to Jack Easterby.
By the way, there's no way in hell that's true.
Remember that time we prayed?
Like, you're jogging off the field after a Super Bowl and everybody's mobbing you, winning, you know, interception, and you go to
where's
Jack Easterby.
Where's Jack?
Hey, remember
Jack?
When we prayed
remember
together?
Remember when we prayed together? You did it, man. You helped me, man.
Oh, that guy was a slime.
There's no way that's the first thing came up into Malcolm Butler's mind. Let me go hug Jack Easterby. You know?
He picked off old Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Where Jack? Remember that time we prayed together? Remember that?
No way, man.
That guy is so full of bleep, it's not even funny. But it could happen, man. I think those three dudes, man, Kalen Bullock, Kamari Lassiter, Jalen Petrie, and they're on the field right now.
Yeah, it's something to feel confident about, too, because remember, I think last week we were sitting there like, man, what's going on with Justin Simmons? We're still thinking about signing a safety.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I feel confident enough where that's kind of out of my mind now.
Yeah.
Where I don't think they signing Justin Simmons. I don't think they're going to look that way.
It is mine, too.
And
although he still hasn't signed.
Yeah. Jonathan Alexander, he actually hopped on this show and pretty much said they're comfortable with the mm-hmm. safety room. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm actually fine with mm-hmm. it then, man. Maybe it's something I'm not seeing. Maybe it's something they haven't shown anybody yet.
Yeah. No, look, we've been out there. We've seen these guys make plays. And I'm really excited for fans to get a glimpse if Kamari Lassiter plays. Not exactly sure. You know, he had a little bit of an injury. We'll see. But he's practicing today. So Kamari Lassiter is practicing today. That's one of the things that we're getting from Texans practice. And I'm looking at it right now. Kamari Lassiter on Stephon Diggs, pass breakup. Like,
that's something I like to hear.
that's pretty dang good.
There you go, Mari.
Every snap.
Let's hear that again. This is too good.
Every snap.
Way too good.
Way to finish, 14. Way to finish. That kid freaking competing. Every snap. Love it.
Love it.
Love it. Every snap. Love it. There you go, Mari. Let's go.
He's just
Alabama was coming out of
was it ever that Alabama?
Hey,
was
shout out to Bessemer, Alabama. I got family down there, man. Every time I bring up D'Amico, my cousin from Alabama, like, you know where he from?
He's
right?
From Bessemer.
He say Big Bessemer.
Big Bessemer.
He's from Big Bessemer.
And that's not even to mention Derek Stingley on the other side. Like if you haven't seen him and you're gonna watch the game on Saturday at noon. You're going to see Kamari Lassiter, or make it a point to see if they don't throw his way very often. Just his ball skills. Like, what's his nickname again?
The locksmith. Yep.
I mean, he earned that.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. When I first heard that nickname, I think, he probably ain't even make it to Houston yet. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm already in.
It's going to be fun. So make it a point. Two rookies and Petrie in the secondary. Well, let's see what happens. All right. So let me ask you this. This is going to be fun. I was asking you guys earlier about would you do the NFL thing if you knew what was coming. Let me ask you this, because Dr. Dre is dead serious about something. He thinks he's going to be on the 2028 Olympic team. You're going to hear it from him. He thinks, like, seriously, he's going to be on the 2028 Olympic team in L.A. So it got me thinking. And I got an answer for me. We'll see what you guys think, you and Chris, and our listeners, 713-572-4610. In your best, at your best, in your prime, what Olympic sport could you legitimately compete in? Next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better.
The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, Figgy, we've got to put you on the spot. Chris is going to put you on the spot. Listeners, I want you to channel your glory days when everything you did is 10 times better now that you're telling the story, because this just had me laughing. We're gonna hear from Bobby Slowick. I'm really looking forward to that. Probably 12-ish, 12:40 maybe. We'll get you... We'll get that dialed in here and let you know when you're going to hear from him. Matt Burke, Texans are on the field, and good things happening. Looks like the offense is having another good day. We'll find out. We'll talk to Sean Pendergast live from practice here in just a little bit. So a lot to cover. Obviously, Astros. We're going to hit the Astros next about 11:40 with just some remarkable stuff that like I said earlier, is something out of a movie. But I want to play this right now. Let's have a little fun here, because if you think about it, when you're getting ready to do the show and it's interesting to you and it's interesting to you guys, Figgy and Chris, I think it's going to be interesting for our listeners. So the Olympics are coming to LA in 2028. We went through the whole thing right after the Olympics. So Dr. Dre was on a podcast, Everything Rap, and Dr. Dre was dead serious about this.
What are you trying out for? What are you going to try out for?
Archery.
And you're being serious?
I'm dead ass serious. Yeah.
Okay. So where does this come from? Where did you pick up archery?
I actually started playing around with archery in junior high, right? I stopped for a while and my son bought me a setup. I don't know if it's for my birthday or Father's Day or something like that. So I have it set up in my backyard. And I heard that qualifying for the Olympics is 77 feet, and I practice at 90. Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting to go, especially with it being here in L.A. and win a gold medal? So,
listen, I'm a little gullible, but I believe you. I believe that you're really going to try to do this.
Ride with me. Come on. I'll get it. I feel like I can do anything. So
that's exactly what I was about to say. I think anything you put your mind to, you probably can do if you really put your mind to it.
All right. So, first of all, on Dr. Dre, how old is Dr. Dre now?
He in his 50s.
Yeah.
He's about 50, between 50, 55, maybe?
59.
50. I didn't know he was that old.
59.
Dang,
so Dr. Dre is basically my age. Yeah. He's basically my age. Dead serious about archery. So, I first of all, on him, and then I'm going to ask you guys this, 713-572-4610. Don't be modest, or hell, be modest. I don't care. Like, at your peak of performance, with your peak expertise in your prime, what Olympic sport, let's just say, you could legitimately compete in, not necessarily win a medal. I'm going to get to that in a second. But Dr. Dre, I'm going to equate this to Tyreek Hill thinking that he can beat Noah Lyles. Tyreek Hill is really, really fast. We all know that. He could maybe beat him in a 40-yard dash. He couldn't beat him in anything over 60. Like, you can be really, really, really good, but you ain't an Olympian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so Dr. Dre, I buy it. There were videos accompanying the podcast, and he's got the whole art of a big $25,000 more archery set, and he's hitting the target. He's hitting it well from whatever he said distance, 77, 90 yards or whatever. That ain't the Olympics.
Yeah, and I think the part that got me was him saying he would, I guess he learned in junior high.
Yeah.
I'm like, brother, ain't you from Compton? Ain't they doing all, like, y'all doing all that in Compton?
Ain't you from Compton?
Yeah. Like, I seen the movie. I seen the NWA movie. And you wasn't doing no archery. You weren't doing that crap in the movie.
He said he was.
Yeah, so I
it's rough on those streets.
Hey, I got.
You
got
to have a bow.
Yeah.
You gotta, and some arrows.
I got questions about that movie now. But, no, I think, yeah, I would be intrigued to see Dr. Dre just in it.
Just try.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
It would be amazing if he won gold. If he won gold in that sport.
Yeah.
And the Olympics is in L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be lit. I'm not even from L.A. Mm-hmm. I have no ties to L.A.
Yeah.
I would be hyped for that.
That would be really, really hyped. So what's your sport? Like, I sent y'all a list of all the Olympic sports. Fencing, obviously, you know, gymnastics, basketball, squash, surfing. One came to mind for me. Now, I'm not saying, look, I'm not going to be, you know, glory days guy here. But I know I could at least compete, at least, you know, maybe not be last place with a little more training, sailing.
Mm.
I mean, I know the water. I know the winds. I know boats. I know tides. I know how to navigate in choppy waters.
That's a tough sport, man.
I know, but these are things that I've done for 50 years.
Okay.
Like, I've been on boats. I've been on some sailboats, but mostly boats. Like for 50 years, I could at least not completely, you know, embarrass myself sailing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's a tough sport, man. Okay.
Me and Mark Vandermeer, he's a real good sailor.
Really?
Oh, he's like, he used to compete.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Mark Vandermeer competed in sailing.
So would he be better than you?
Oh yeah. Cause he sails. I've done a little bit. But mostly on power boats, you know, on my fishing boats. But I know the waters, I know the winds, I know how to read them.
I feel like you'll be like that guy that competed in that swimming and just landed on his back in the water.
In the diving?
Yeah. That might be you.
Hey, if at you least I'd be there.
Yeah,
at least I'd be there. But how about this? How about Vandermeer is the captain and I'm the first?
Okay.
Oh, we'd compete.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We'd compete. He was legit good.
So you'll be like Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be Halliburton.
Getting the A+ and ain't do nothing on the project.
Copying off his paper. Copying off his paper. What about you? Like, don't be modest.
Yeah, so I doubt this is a sport, but this is something we did in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of had, it wasn't Olympics, but it was something like it around like the
there's a competition.
Competition.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I was really good at, and I did not want to do this crap. I'm just like, man, I'm cool. But you ever heard of the, I guess the exercise shoulder walking?
Oh, yeah.
Where you kind of get in the push-up position
and you walk.
You just kind of go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So they had me do that during gym class, and apparently I blew everybody out the water doing that. And my gym teacher kept trying to get me to compete. Like, it was a whole citywide
competition. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was just like, he kept begging me. I wasn't in the right mindset, man. I was a knucklehead. So I'm like, I ain't trying to do that crap. I'm trying to go home and go outside.
Yeah.
But that was one thing I probably could do if that was a sport in my heyday.
Mm-hmm.
If the Olympics was around then, I could probably compete in that, man. They told me I was a beast at that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah. You were a beast.
I'm just like, man, I don't care about
that crap. Hey, if it's an Olympic sport.
Yeah.
All right, Chris.
I would. Back in my day.
Yeah, let's talk about the good old glory
back
day.
In my day. Yeah. Back in my day. I would do flag football and basketball 3v3.
Oh, 3-on-3. Now, there are some guys, like the Americans didn't even do well. There's some guys that just know how to play 3-on-3.
Yeah, 3-on-3 is just different, man. Yeah. It's just like you got
to. It's totally different. It's, especially the way they played. The way they played it in the Olympics, it was totally different.
Because I used to play at just pickup in the hood.
Yeah.
So it's just like playing with like, they rough you up, man.
Oh, yeah.
They rough you up. They're just like, I don't call fouls, none of that stuff. So it's just like being able to use that and like what I know.
And it's quick, too, and time.
3-on-3, that's a good call. What was the other one you said?
Flag football. I used to play football in high school, but I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like flag, I do pretty good.
We got some good answers on the text board and on the YouTube channel. A Division III quarterback said he had a strong arm. Maybe he just wasn't like real accurate. Or he said javelin. That's a good way to translate the javelin. That's a good way to translate one thing that you do really, really well to another sport.
The other thing I do really well, and this has nothing to do with the Olympics or anything like that, but if I'm going to bring it to around here, what I do on the daily. If editing audio quick was a sport, man, I will be Michael Phelps. Man, I'm a beast when it comes to editing audio quick. Man, I'll be having that podcast up.
You showed me.
By 2:02.
You showed me how to do it.
Yeah, the show end at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Everything be uploaded by 2:02. Everything. It got so bad to the point where I think it was about 2:30 and I didn't have it all the way up yet.
You were
yet.
Ticked off.
No, I wasn't even ticked off. I think I was in a meeting or something like that. And somebody hit me up like, hey, where's the podcast?
You're slow today.
I'm like, bro.
Yeah.
I'm like, some people had the podcast up like 2 or 3 hours later.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's 30 minutes after the show and y'all complaining about not the podcast not being up?
Yeah.
I'm like, dang, but I'm a beast at that, man. I edit so fast. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I hate when people have to train with me. Mm-hmm. And they see the way I edit the podcast.
Yeah.
I'll be like, look, don't even look at me. I do it extremely fast. So I don't want you to get intimidated, but I edit super fast.
Oh my gosh. Those types of sports, like, you know, not officially Olympic. I'm trying to think if there's anything I could do. The text board is blowing up on this, and somebody said field day. Okay. He was a field day warrior in elementary school. God, that was fun.
I remember them days.
That was a lot of fun.
You know what else I would do? Some fencing. Just because.
Yeah, but you'd get killed.
That looked fun.
Yeah, you'd get killed. Well,
I used to take fencing classes back when I was in elementary school. Yeah,
okay.
So I was in the YMCA, and they would offer those classes, and I'd be like, sure, why not? I'd do that. So I have a little bit of.
I'd be good in pickleball.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They got to make pickleball an Olympics, and I think they will. It's too popular.
Mm. What about tag?
No way.
Were you good with tag?
No way. I was too big. Like, too tall, too, you know.
I was actually good with tag because I was small and I was fast.
Yeah.
So I was good with tag.
Now, that's a sport. That's a competitive sport.
Yeah, it is.
That might be an Olympic sport. Pickleball needs to be an Olympic sport.
I think it will be.
Yeah.
It's a trendy sport right now, too.
Yeah. We were playing on vacation this summer, and I played doubles with my daughter and my wife and my sons, and I never lost with different partners. And they're like, dude, where did this come from? I said, I don't know. Like I had no idea I was good at pickleball. And like, and I was just like, it's the old hand eye, I guess, or whatever. I don't know. I never played tennis. I did badminton.
Yeah.
I did badminton 2 semesters at A&M. Maybe it comes from there.
I tried to play tennis in high school where they actually made us play, like learn it and play.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get the ball over the net, man. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how do they do that? Like, you got to do it at the same time.
I took two courses.
Yeah.
I took two courses and had fun. I didn't know it would translate to pickleball.
Yeah, no, that's hard.
I actually took tennis classes when I was in middle school, like during the summer. And I feel like that kind of helped me.
The hand eye.
Yeah, with the whole pickleball thing. Now, am I good at tennis? That's a different story.
Yeah. All right, let's play the hits. And some of those hits break scoreboards. We will explain next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, here we go with the hits, and let's start with one that broke the scoreboard. If you didn't know, Yordan Alvarez went full the natural on that. We don't have to play that right now, Chris, but this was Yordan after the game talking about breaking the scoreboard in Tampa.
So did you shooting for the scoreboard or what was going on there?
Bueno, tú me estás poniendo en problema porque tú fuiste que lo posteaste y si no hay un video que pruebe que fui yo, ese bill no lo pago yo.
Now, you're trying to get me in trouble. You're the one that posted that picture. There wasn't a video showing that it was me. I don't know who it was, because I'm not paying that bill.
Some say it was you, so are you denying it or you got it?
Falta video. Mucha gente dice que levanta el video y yo los apoyo. No, y si no hay un video, no fui yo.
I don't know, you know, we're missing the video and there's not a video. You know, a lot of people asking for the video. If there's no video, I don't know who it was.
What do you think?
Man, he trying to skip out on that bill.
That's a legendary thing.
Yeah. Nah, that's always a good feeling, man. Yeah. I had a homeboy who actually dunked the basketball and broke the...
Oh, really?
The backboard. Yeah, it was at my school. Mm-hmm. And they had like it was a thing called hood versus heights. Where, you know, all the people in the inner city versus the schools in the heights in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And it was like pregame, and they doing layups and dunking and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He dunked, and the whole backboard shattered. And so we was all laughing and all that stuff, but his dad was like, hey, y'all better not send me that bill. Ain't nothing funny. Like, I'm not paying for this bleep. So that it was always a good feeling. I think he actually took a picture under the under the rim.
I would.
It made the paper.
Yeah.
But, I guess people was actually trying to build him for that.
Yeah.
It's just like, nah, that's not on him. That's on y'all.
Yeah. And, of course, the Astros, 7 straight wins. Unbelievable run that they're on right now in the midst of everything. And, you know, we talked earlier about the pitching staff and the pitching coaches and the analytics team and all that. It's pretty remarkable. Just for context, no way in hell anybody could have imagined this. I don't care what you say. Yeah, it's early, guy. I get it. I'm happy. I can respect your confidence and all that. But there is no way in hell anybody back in May, when they're whatever 7-19 or whatever it was, said, yeah, you say Kikuchi is going to be key to this team. Yeah, you say he's going to go in his last two starts as an Astro. I mean, in his last two games as an Astro, 2-0, 2.77 ERA. Neither were they going to say, you know that Spencer Arrighetti in August when – he's pitching like he's more innings than he's ever pitched in his life. He's going to have 25 strikeouts in 2 games. No one would have said that. Hunter Brown, early in the year, nobody would have said, you know, when he was giving up 5 runs in a third of an inning.
He was talking about sending them back down.
Yeah, 5 runs in a third of an inning. No one was going to say, just wait. He's going to go from June 8th on to the end of the season, or at least into August, 2.32 ERA with 75 strikeouts in 21 walks. And for sure, as much as consistent as he's been, Ronel Blanco wasn't even going to be in the starting rotation. No one would have said he was going to have the year that he's had.
Yeah, man. Salute to those guys that do the jobs we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
The analytics and all that stuff, man. Because, look, when they traded for Kikuchi, I was sitting there like, man, what are y'all doing? Look at that ERA.
Yeah.
Like, this dude been bad the last couple starts. Like, and y'all trading for him?
Yeah.
To me, I just didn't see it. And that's the reason why I thought it was a bad trade. I wasn't really worried about the people they gave up.
Yeah.
I'm looking like, look what you're getting. This guy can't pitch. And look, that's exactly why I am where I am now, man. That's why I don't work in baseball. And I'm not a scout or a GM because it looked like they picked the perfect guy that will fit this situation. And he's thriving here.
Yeah. Well, what they've done, and this is sort of like kind of a low-key MVP-type performance, like Josh Miller and Bill Murphy, the pitching coaches, like it's ridiculous what they've done with those pitchers. And then, at the same time, Bregman is becoming an absolute monster, like 4 home runs in 4 straight games, had another one last night. This was Joe Espada on that.
Describe the run Bregman's on right now with the slug and the power.
And the defensive play, that ball down the foul line. It's a big play. He's just found his groove. His swing is right, and level of confidence, which he never lacks. But right now, he's putting some good swings.
Pretty remarkable. And as I mentioned, 7 wins in a row. Joe Espada on that.
A little, you know, just urgency. There's fire. You know, we're running, you know, we're running down this finish line. And the guys are playing with urgency. There's a level of energy that I've seen this team do that before.
That last part is what I've been talking about the whole time. Like, if they get here, as they got here, and if they get there, it's that gene. It's that winning Astros gene. He said, I've seen that Astros team before. As we're looking at the standings right now, they are now a game and a half ahead up on the Mariners. Man, 9.5 up on the Rangers. They are done.
Yeah, they are done.
Did y'all see the Mariners lose yesterday? 15-1
Yes.
Against the Tigers, man.
Yes.
Man. Talk about getting your butt whooped, man.
Yeah. And then you got the Guardians and the Yankees and the Orioles. And I've been saying this all along, like they've been appreciably better than the Astros all year long. Well, hell, they're really not that far ahead of them anyway. It'll be tough to catch them.
And the pitcher, man.
Yeah.
And the pitcher. And I think, I just think the advantage the Astros got over everybody is that gene.
Yeah.
They've been there before, man. Mm-hmm. They've been through stuff the last couple years where we probably thought they wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
And especially last year. Last year, they barely made the playoffs.
This year more than ever.
And they just took all, they got to the ALCS and they lost then. But no, I think this year, that's the advantage they got. They got that gene. That, hey, we've been here, we've been to a championship series before. So I think they got that advantage over everybody.
And there's also like I mentioned the pitching coaches and the analytics team and Espada and how, you know, they're sprinkling their own kind of pixie dust on Kikuchi. Yeah, for sure on him, but on all these pitchers. But part of that, like the pitching staff, the analytics staff, all the guys in the front office of the Astros, they kind of have that gene too. Like they're confident in themselves. Yeah. Like when they brought in Kikuchi, when they brought up Eric Geddy, they knew that they had issues. You know, they knew that
or they knew they were raw. Like especially somebody like
raw.
Yeah, Spencer Eric Geddy. They knew he haven't been there before.
Yeah,
and they kept him in there. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why the other guy, Jake Gloss.
Yeah,
they felt comfortable with parting ways with him that early on.
Yeah,
so look, man, I ain't going to question them too much, man. Mm-hmm. They did their job, man. I salute the young.
Well, like I said, like they've helped so many pitchers over the years kind of get the most out of them that they could look at Kikuchi, they could look at, Eric Geddy, hell, Hunter Brown, who they've been around a lot, struggling so much, and they go, you know what? Watching this film, watching his delivery, watching his approach, watching everything about him, if you do this, if you throw this pitch more often, I was listening to Spencer Eric Geddy, an interview with him, and I didn't put it on the doc. I was just kind of just intrigued, and he was talking about like what the coaches have done with him. He's like, I'm not trying to just, I think the word he used was be filthy. He says, I'm not trying to be filthy anymore. In other words, throw my best pitch every time, my hardest pitch every time, that they've convinced me like to get ahead in the count a little more, maybe not with your best stuff, but just kind of hit the corners of the strike zone earlier, try to get ahead in the count and then start throwing this. Like that's the organization talking.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's important.
Yep. And that's where you got to give them credit for that point, because like looking at this rotation, I would have been like, hell no, they ain't making no playoffs. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But no, they found something in these guys and they are getting by. Like, they still been having some quality starts.
Yeah.
And it's going on 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, and we ain't even talk about Verlander.
Oh, by the way, one more rehab start, and he should be back next weekend.
Yeah. So, throw him in the mix, and I think this could be a scary team, man.
Well, it is already. Obviously, today they are still in Tampa, and it's going to be Ronel Blanco against Zach Littell. And then they face Garrett Crochet at home on Friday night. There will be some fireworks. Garrett Crochet, one of the guys that they were rumored to be interested in. Good pitcher. Good ERA. Not a great record because he's pitching for the White Sox. But that'll be fun. And then, you know, you can't say anything but here they come.
Yeah.
Like, here they come.
Hey, I said it earlier, man. They remind me of the movie Halloween.
Yeah.
They're Michael Myers right now. You thought they were dead. You look out the window, he gone.
Yeah.
You like, where the hell? I thought I killed him. I stabbed the knife in the back of him.
Yeah.
And this dude got up and gone.
Yeah.
Like, we can't kill. Like, we need to run now. Yeah. They're alive.
Exactly. All right, one more here on the hits, because this has been getting a lot of run all over the country. So Jordan Chiles had her bronze medal. They're asking for it back, and it's just stupid. The International Olympic Committee, the Gymnastics Federation, are saying Well, she appealed because they didn't give her the right difficulty level on a routine. She appealed, and they added those points, and she got the bronze medal. She did nothing wrong other than do a routine that was worthy of the bronze medal. And it was 4 seconds. You have a minute to do that appeal. And according to them, it was 4 seconds after. It was a minute and 4 seconds. And so, sorry, they're going to give they want to give the bronze medal to the other athlete. I've changed my mind on this. Mm. Like I said yesterday and the day before, you know what? I wouldn't call it as a big stink. Just give it back to him. Whatever. Let the process, go. Let them have the process, and maybe you'll win the appeal. Well, now the IOC is saying they're not going to listen to the appeal. In other words, we don't care. Give us the medal back.
Yeah. So there's no.
They're not going to listen to it.
We don't want to hear what you got to say.
Yeah.
Just give me my stuff back. Give our stuff back.
So I've changed my mind. If you're going to be like that, screw you.
Yeah.
You want the medal? This is my address. You can come get it. You can come get it. You can come try to get it.
We can swabble.
We say in Texas, come and take it.
Yeah. they about to be whooping some feet, man. I'll be whooping some feet.
Come and take it. You want this medal? Come and take it. So, yeah. Like that's just, like, they won't even listen.
Yeah.
Like, she did a performance that was worthy by the judges of the bronze medal. But because the judges screwed up and didn't give her the right difficulty, they had to appeal. So they appealed. And it took them a minute and 4 seconds instead of a minute. Come on, man.
Yeah, nah. This is the judges trying not to...
Look bad.
Yeah, they try not to admit that they dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. And nah, at that point, you did. You dropped the ball. You look bad. Mm-hmm. You got to deal with that, man. Yeah. You got to deal with that. You can't take nothing back, man. Yeah. In any other profession, you don't hear nobody else taking anything back.
And
man.
I wouldn't even, like, the other athlete knows. I think she's from, I forget where she's from. But anyway, like, she knows Jordan Childs did a more difficult routine and got a higher score.
Yeah.
But because of 4 seconds, they're going to give me a bronze medal instead? Hell no.
Yeah.
Hell no.
That's BS right there.
Yeah. All right. Hey, let's get all the latest from Texans practice. It is going on now. They'll be wrapping it up here in about 15 or 20 minutes. Let's talk about something that I think is huge. I think we just may be underestimating how good this offense can be. Yes, I said we might be underestimating how good this offense can be. That's next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.